As Karimov enters his 26th year in power, Uzbekistan continues to hold thousands, literally thousands of political prisoners, which really is unique in the former Soviet Union. If you took Russia, Azerbaijan, Belarus, and all the repressive country situations that we see around the region, you wouldn't even get close to the number of persons imprisoned on politically motivated charges as you have in Uzbekistan. So that continues to be at the top of Human Rights Watch's priority list in terms of human rights violations in Uzbekistan. So we put out this report in 2014, late 2014. It's called Until the Very End. And that was a phrase that was spoken by Azam Farmonov, an imprisoned human rights defender, as he was looking across the courtroom at his wife. He had been tortured when he was arrested in 2006 on trumped-up corruption charges, was tortured, sentenced to 9 years, and as he saw her in the courtroom, he said, "I will hold out until the very end," which is really the situation for, as I said, thousands of people that are suffering in Uzbekistan's jails on what are charges related to either the peaceful exercise of religious beliefs, political opinions, journalistic activity, or human rights work. And we see that this situation is not improving. Unfortunately, Uzbekistan continues to lead the way in all sorts of human rights abuses. One of them is that in 2015, Uzbekistan is setting records in the number of UN human rights experts that it has denied access into the country. So you actually have 11 human rights experts that have asked to visit Uzbekistan since 2002, and Uzbekistan has not allowed a single one into the country, which really makes Uzbekistan, again, in another category, one of, unfortunately, a record breaker in terms of its non-cooperation with international institutions. And we think at Human Rights Watch that all the abuses, the lack of impunity for torture in the criminal justice system, the lack of justice for what happened in Andijan in 2005, the forced mobilization of adults and children to pick cotton, the lack of freedom of expression, that all leads us to one place, unfortunately, the need for international action on Uzbekistan's human rights record. And so we are asking, and we're doing this together with other Uzbek civil society groups, for there to be a United Nations mechanism set up specifically on Uzbekistan. We think that that sort of mechanism would at least set up a process, a periodic discussion from time to time, whether every 6 months or every year, in Geneva about Uzbekistan's human rights record. And that could have, hopefully, a positive effect and lead to the releases of political prisoners and other human rights improvements. With our latest report, as we have with all our reports, we directly address our research findings prior to publication to the government that we are making recommendations to. That's our methodology. We work in over 90 countries around the world, and we always give governments a chance to comment on our work before we publish. And you know, ideally, of course, we want to make practical recommendations that will help governments, assist them in living up to their commitments under international law. And that's what we're doing with Uzbekistan. So you know, prior to this report coming out, we sent a long letter to the Uzbek government. We requested to visit Tashkent and present our findings. And while there was some response, and in fact one of my colleagues was able to have a meeting in Tashkent with a government representative, we were not able to continue, we have not been able to resume our work inside the country, to continue doing research inside the country. And unfortunately, there seems to be an opinion that Human Rights Watch has some agenda against Uzbekistan, and that is not the case. I want to make very clear, Human Rights Watch is a non-governmental, independent, non-partisan organization. We received no government funding. And in fact, we put out more critical reports of the United States and the United States government than we do in a given year than Uzbekistan. And I think we really hope that in this coming year, we'll see some progress, some actual conversation with the Uzbek government, and we'll keep trying. And we hope that the diplomatic community will facilitate our dialogue with the Uzbek government. As to the international actors' response to Uzbekistan's human rights situation, we see a mixed response. Washington continues to be one of the most important players in terms of raising human rights issues, and we greatly appreciate the the work that individual diplomats do in raising the cases of political prisoners, other issues such as forced labor in the cotton harvest, religious freedom, and we know that those conversations take place behind closed doors most of the time and sometimes in public. But I think what we're calling for is for there to be a sober assessment by U.S. officials of what this more recent period of closer ties with Tashkent has actually brought. Unfortunately, we've seen the Red Cross kicked out of Uzbekistan, unable to visit prisoners and detainees. We've seen torture continuing in a rampant way across the country. We continue to see thousands of political prisoners. We continue to see not even the greenest, the tiniest shoots of the green grass of democracy growing in Uzbekistan. And of course, this is driven home very much by the fact that the elections are now about to take place, with the president not even explaining how it's possible that he can be running for re-election with the constitution that allows him only two terms. And so we think that that requires that Washington take a tougher stance, a more assertive approach. This shouldn't be such a tough case for the United States, especially not now. The Afghan war is at least in a reduced phase. Transportation needs and military cooperation needs with Tashkent are lower and a lower priority than they were in previous years. And we really think that the U.S. government has to recognize the leverage it has. President Karimov needs the support of the West. He needs that even more now with the challenges of ISIS, with what's happening around Ukraine. This gives the United States more of an opportunity, not less, to push human rights concerns. So we want to see public statements by U.S. officials, very strong ones, including by President Obama and John Kerry, on Uzbekistan's atrocious record. And we want to see U.S. lawmakers actually enacting some restrictions on Uzbekistan. That means that SNB officials that torture or other government officials that profit off of forced labor in the cotton field are engaged in corruption should be denied visas. Their assets should be frozen. And there shouldn't be business as usual with Uzbekistan. That's what we hope. There are different approaches, and we know that U.S. officials care deeply about these issues. We meet and discuss this with them regularly. There was a comment made recently by the Assistant Secretary of State for South and Central Asia that the approach to Uzbekistan has to include a certain amount of strategic patience. And respectfully, we disagree with that view. We believe that there should be strategic impatience. It's simply what the people of Uzbekistan, not the government of Uzbekistan, deserve. They deserve a new beginning. They deserve a stronger commitment from a government, the United States government, that really purports to be a leader in democratic values. And we think that that isn't so hard to do. As I said, it requires public messaging, which is a little stronger, more specific. I think political prisoners who are languishing in Uzbekistan's jails should be named. Their names should be spoken aloud on a consistent basis. We also think that some in Congress have also disagreed with this approach. We saw 12 U.S. senators write a letter about a year ago calling for the release of Dilmurod Said, Murad Jurayev, and Agzam Turgunov, Salihjon Abdurakhmanov. Those are imprisoned journalists and human rights activists. And what happened after that strongly worded letter? In fact, a local human rights group in Uzbekistan, Ezgulik, was able to visit these four prisoners in jail after years of not getting access. This shows that a public stance, public calls for human rights improvements can actually have an effect in Uzbekistan. And we think that a lot more can be done without that much energy being expended. I think the issue is that human rights are universal values. It doesn't matter if you're American, Mexican, or Uzbek, the same fundamental rights apply to everyone. So it's not really about understanding any specifically Uzbek experience of human rights abuses. It's about basic things like being able to go out onto the street and give your opinion. It's about being able to go to school and not be forced out into the cotton fields. Those are things that all of us deserve and all of us need. Human Rights Watch had a long presence in Uzbekistan, and we, for 15 years, we had an office on the ground, and we have very close ties with civil society. We also, of course, meet with people abroad. Many, of course, have fled or have gone abroad as migrant workers. So we try to collect information every way we can, whether it's on social media or it's over the phone or it's in person. Anybody that purports to know what's really happening on the ground in Tashkent with the Karimov family would be lying. And so, of course, we can't verify much of the information that we've learned about Gulnara Karimova's case, but we feel that it's important to look at what her case represents for the vast population of Uzbekistan. If the president's daughter is unable to speak freely, has not been granted access to a lawyer, there's been no evidence that she's been able to speak out or that she's been represented by counsel, then what does that say about the rights of ordinary people in Uzbekistan? It simply underlines how atrocious the human rights situation is in Uzbekistan. Her case is, though, very important for a lot of other reasons. Of course, there's been numerous cases opened against Gulnara and her associates for corruption in various jurisdictions across Europe and even in the United States, and those cases need to move forward. The Uzbek government should be cooperating with those investigations because any proceeds that were garnered in corrupt ways really should be flowing back to the people of Uzbekistan. There should be, I think, some creative international approaches to the problem of corruption and human rights and an understanding of the connection between corruption and human rights in Uzbekistan. So Gulnara Karimova's case is important. It shows also that politics in Uzbekistan, despite a one-man rule system, a deeply authoritarian system, is actually alive and well. It's a wake-up call to Washington and Brussels and other international actors. They have to be thinking about what comes next in Uzbekistan. They need to be positioning themselves and pushing a human rights agenda on whoever is going to be in the ruling seat at some point soon. We don't have that much information on the role of Lola Karimova, although we do think that whenever you're serving in a public capacity as an Uzbek government official, you have a responsibility to speak out, to answer the record on human rights abuses. It's very important that Lola Karimova use that role that she has to do something of added value for the country. We hope that she will remember that. I think this episode with her sister, perhaps, you know, it sent shivers down the spine of other members of the family, and they realized that the last two decades have not really turned out the way they should have. Maybe it is time for some serious conversations about reforms in Uzbekistan, and we hope that'll happen. While we don't take any specific position on cultural events, we certainly are not about cultural boycotts at all. We very much know the important role that Nowruz has in Uzbek culture and in Uzbekistan. But we think the optics of such events can sometimes be very tone deaf to the sad reality of life in Uzbekistan. While you can have a glamorous party, it's simply not appropriate, and it's actually disrespectful, I think, to millions of Uzbeks if at the same time you're not speaking directly to them about their issues, about everyday problems such as corruption and basic human rights. So I think President Karimov, as well as the other members of his family, should be thinking about that. They should be doing a much better job addressing those things. And with the stroke of a pen, President Karimov could improve a lot of things in Uzbekistan. So we hope that happens tomorrow.
Америка овозы. Телевизорда, радиода ва интернетте. Шуниңдек, уяли телефоныңызда. Оқиң, тыңлаң ва тамаша қилиң. Соңғы хабарлар. Тезкор, холис ва ишончли. Видео, фото ва аудио шаклида. Истасангиз, сиз ҳам Америка овозига материал юборинг. Дунё билан боғланинг. Смартфон, Mac ёки Android. Аппликациямизни ишлатинг. Америка овозы бармоғингиз остида.